Jerry Bader Show, 10:06. Oh, that's right. It's a classic cut. Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Bon Jovi. Living on a prayer. Jerry Bader Show, 10:07. I know, I'm a busy man today, though, Jason. A fine pick. Just got a 40-year-old mom becomes New Orleans Saints cheerleader. I do have time for that, actually. Open that. I'm going to take the mouse over here and crying out loud. No kidding. 40-year-old mom becomes New Orleans. I got to get quickly discuss this. Now what's up? It's loading. Taking forever to load. She was 25 when this story started. Now she's a 40-year-old mom. All right. No, it still doesn't. All right. 40-year-old mom becomes New Orleans Saints cheerleader. Apparently, that's all I'm going to get you to tell about it because it's still the little wheel is spinning up there. And there we go. Wow, she's, is that her? She's 40? Way to go, Mom. That's all I got to say about that. Way to go, Mom. She, mother of two, makes Saints squad. Two boys, 14 and 11, longtime dance instructor. Very cool. All right, Jason's right, though. I did not interrupt a classic cut to get to that kind of thing. Now, just a quick completion on the topic from the last hour. The other thing to remember when saying millennials are socially liberal but fiscally conservative, we didn't see the data on all the social issues. What about abortion? I would love to see those numbers. Younger people are more conservative on abortion because the technology showed them it's a baby in there and not a clump of tissue. Here's another thing. The humanitarian crisis at the border shows how you cannot divide the two as mutually exclusive social and fiscal issues. Social liberals, oh, let them in. There's a fiscal impact to that. And you can't have a society, you can't have a country without borders. That's where this is much more complex than it appears on the surface. Here's another issue that we didn't hear about in that survey. How do millennials feel about gun rights? Now, here would be my guess. My guess would be that they tend to be very strong on gun regulation because it's been pounded into them that guns are evil. That would be my guess. Should we give up on that one, too? Which leads me to this. Oh, before I get to what it leads me to, just again, for those of you that missed it, breaking news out of Green Bay. Green Bay police officer Derek Wicklin has been cleared of any wrongdoing in what some thought was excessive force in an arrest captured on a YouTube video. Green Bay police investigation cleared him, and I said this earlier, and I perhaps spoke out of school. I am assuming that the state review of that investigation concurred. More on that throughout the day. Now back to the issue of gun rights. As you know, Wisconsin has concealed carry. As you know, there are some restrictions. There are some people who cannot get a concealed carry license in Wisconsin for varying reasons. One of them is if you have certain convictions related to domestic violence, you are not allowed to get a concealed carry license. A northern Wisconsin judge has ruled that a Rhinelander man's 1995 conviction related to grabbing his wife during an argument cannot prevent him from getting a license to carry a concealed weapon in Wisconsin. The decision appears to be the first to overturn a Department of Justice license denial based on an applicant's apparent record of domestic violence. By the way, I have to quick mention something. In the original story, Bruce Villametti called this a permit I sent him a very nice email and said that's wrong. He changed it to license. The Journal Sentinel actually listened to someone and changed it to license. A report over the weekend in the Northwoods River News said Raymond von Bober II was turned down for a license, now he says permit, for a license last year over a 1995 disorderly conduct ticket related to an argument with his wife. He sued in Oneida County Circuit Court. The State Department of Justice follows a federal law that prohibits firearm possession by anyone convicted of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence, even though some might consider it domestic violence, it was disorderly conduct. Now, apparently, he grabbed her by the arms and shoved her into another room during an argument. I am not defending that behavior. That said, should it preclude him from ever getting a concealed carry permit? He has no criminal record prior, no criminal record since, and this was not a domestic violence conviction? I say no, and I think the judge absolutely did the right thing here. Near the end of the show yesterday, I briefly mentioned an article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal by Mort Zuckerman. He is pointing out that the jobs report that you heard for June is crap. Now, he doesn't say it that way exactly. But what he points out is that most people will hear the June national jobs report and believe that 288,000 full-time jobs were created last month. Not so. Full-time jobs last month plunged by 523,000. How many people know that? How many people know that we lost 500,000 full-time private sector jobs last month? Seriously, how many people know that? How many people would believe it? How many liberals right now think I'm making this up? They're like that woman who freaked out at the abortion protesters because she saw a picture of a 12-week fetus and didn't want to believe that's what a baby looks like at 12 weeks. No, you're lying! A baby at 12, it's not a baby, it's a clump of tissue. It's a clump of cells because that's what she's been taught. And the disconnect set her off over the edge. There are liberals right now in hearing this. We lost 500,000 full-time jobs in June. They won't believe it. Meantime, we gained 800,000 part-time jobs. So the 288,000 jobs created are an aggregate of 800,000 part-time jobs. Zuckerman goes on, just think of all those Americans working part-time, no doubt glad to have the work, but also contending with lower pay, diminished benefits, and little job security. There was a joke during the Clinton quote-unquote boom. Bill Clinton's created millions of jobs. Yeah, I have four of them. You know, and it's not a joke, and it's still in place today. My wife and I were shopping at Walmart, and was it? Yeah, it was the 4th of July. My wife got me into the store on the 4th of July on the way back from visiting my mom. We were in Walmart, and very nice young lady checking us out, and she said, my wife made small talk with her about the fact she was working. She's a young lady. And she was going to a second job after Walmart, but apparently she got additional money for both because it was the fourth. I thought I understood, even though she's not a full-time employee, but that is the way it sounded. A lot of people have multiple jobs. On July 2nd, President Obama boasted that the jobs report showed the sixth straight month of job growth in the private economy. Make no mistake, he said, we're headed in the right direction. What he failed to mention is that only 48% of adults in the U.S. are working full-time. Yes, the percentage of unemployed has fallen, but that's worth barely a Bronx cheer. It reflects the bleak fact that 2.4 million Americans have become discouraged and dropped out of the workforce. You might as well say that the unemployment rate would be zero if everyone quit looking for work. Last month, involuntary part-timers swelled, in other words, involuntary, people who would rather be working full-time, swelled to 7.5 million, compared with 4.4 million in 2007. Way too many adults now depend on the low-wage, part-time jobs that teenagers would normally fill. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen had it right in March when she said the existence of such a large pool of partly unemployed workers, there's a new phrase, partly unemployed workers, is a sign that labor conditions are worse than indicated by the unemployment rate. Why do you think he's pushing so hard on the minimum wage? Why do you think liberals are pushing so hard on the minimum wage? Because they realize that, yes, the ranks of those in that category are growing. And they think what they're going to do is create an economy with a lot more part-time work and then force employers to pay more for that part-time work. And they don't think that will collapse the economy. That's how clueless they are. Speaking of clueless, in 5 minutes, speaking of clueless, John Kerry and what passes for sexism at one Wisconsin university. It's 10:17.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.